Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
My brand new book, Midwife Pip's Guide to a Positive Birth, is now available. So much more than a book, this is a guide that allows me to hold your hand through your birth preparation journey. With over a decade of experience and knowledge packed in to ensure you really are empowered in the way you deserve to achieve a positive birth, regardless of the twists and turns that crop up. Make sure that you get your hands on Midwife Pip's Guide to a Positive Birth book now and are empowered to have the birth experience that you deserve.
Hello, I'm Midwife Pip and welcome to the Midwife Pip podcast, the home of honest expert chat. My mission is to provide you with the very best support and information through pregnancy, birth, and beyond with my online courses over at midwifepip.com. And as a podcast listener, I'm also offering you an exclusive 15% off all my online courses using code PODCAST15. With no further ado, let's get chatting. Becoming and being a parent is tough. Perhaps the most challenging thing we will ever do as a woman. Don't get me wrong, I love being a mum, but the psychological shift is huge. Your life and priorities are literally turned upside down overnight. Our emotional well-being is more fragile and important than ever, but is often right down the bottom of our priority list. This week's guest is here to share with us why and how we must start to change this. Sophie Birch, aka the Mama Coach, is on a mission to put all mental and emotional well-being more on the map in pregnancy, birth, and parenting. She has 16 years as a mother to four boys, including twins, as a perinatal therapist and coach, and a birth trauma and postnatal depression survivor. Her experience has shaped who she is and awakened her to a life of comparison and deep empathy for everyone from preconception through parenting to menopause. Her approach is simple: to allow people to feel held and heard, safe and worthy of love and self-acceptance. Sophie believes that our strength comes from self-compassion, kindness, and knowledge, which is her ethos. Her focus for 2022 is connection, and she intends to connect and hold space for as many people as possible. In 2020, Sophie saw launch of her book, Beyond Birth, A Mindful Guide for Early Parenting, which is an integration of all she knows to help people have a more balanced, positive experience as they transition from pregnancy to parenting. The guide's available as a published book on Amazon, and you can find that linked in the episode description. But it's also available as an e and audiobook, parent baby support sessions, and she also offers a practitioner training course. Sophie is a trainer and team member at the PMH Training CIC with leading perinatal expert and author, Dr. Jane Hanley, and offers online and in-person coaching, one-to-one and groups, and is very happy to always talk about her work and experience at events and podcasts, which kind of brings you to talk to me today, I suppose, Sophie. So welcome and thank you for coming on. And actually, in the background, thank you for all the amazing work that you've done to support women, pregnancy and motherhood over the years.
Thank you. Thank you so, so much. That was the most amazing introduction. I love what I do. Quite simply, it is all very much from my heart. It's driven through experience, both as a mum to four and giving birth three very different ways and needing lots of support and not necessarily having the support I needed, but also as a professional, as a therapist and a coach. And just really kind of witnessing in the last 16 years since I've been a parent, how you know, fundamentally, the landscape has changed in terms of the support that's there and our understanding of what's needed. But we still have a long way to go. And there are some really big gaps in that support that's needed, but also big, big gaps in people's understanding of mental health generally, and certainly what emotional well-being is. So that's why I'm driven every day to show up and hold space and be there for people, work with them through some of the challenges, but equally to hopefully open their eyes to a much brighter, more hopeful future. Mm. And also to take care of themselves in a way that models beautifully to their children, because it's fundamentally our children that we, when we become parents, that we focus on all the time. It's, you know, almost like we put ourselves to the side and it's all about the baby. It's all, and even in pregnancy, isn't it? It's very much about how that baby is developing and not so much about the mother, certainly not about the father or the partner at that stage. So my work includes everybody, and it's very much about the future of our children and how we can make things right now for their sakes as well as for our own.
Yeah, and I love that, because for women perhaps who are listening, who think, you know, I am just too busy focusing on my children to start sort of taking a back step and thinking about myself, actually, like you've just beautifully described, by looking after yourself, you are inadvertently looking after and protecting them and their future. And as we know, you know, little Finley's coming up 7 months, and already he mimics, you know, things that we do. Their little brains are just absolute sponges, aren't they? And they look up to you as their mother more than anybody else. So it really is inevitable that we display to them how important mental health and emotional well-being is. And I don't know about you, Sophie, but I feel like in society, over the sort of maybe the past five, six years, we've started to lift the lid on mental health and kind of start to open up a little bit more and recognize it. But we're really only scratching the surface, aren't we, in terms of discussing it and prioritizing it still?
Yeah, I think there is that. I mean, there's a huge lack of funding behind that, which is what we need a lot of. But it's almost like a re-education, you see, because we haven't really prioritized it up until fairly recently. It comes with a lot of stigma. And certainly physical health has been very much the mainstream. It's all been about how you can look and feel better in your skin. How can you get your body back? How can you, you know, still be yourself in terms of who you were before you had a baby to afterwards? And it's very much about appearances in lots of ways, has been for a long time. And what we now know, obviously, is that everybody has mental health, and mental health is just as important as physical health. And in fact, it is all health. It's all wellness. It's all well-being. We need to be looking at our whole self, as you know, as well as just how we're going to get back into those genes again, and you know, feel ourselves because we look the same. And actually, you know, what happens is once we start to become more self-aware on other levels, on a level of how we're feeling and how we're thinking and what's going on there and what we need for ourselves every day, that starts to help us to feel better generally. And therefore we have more energy and more gumption to do the things that make us feel better physically as well. So it's a bit of a no-brainer, really, excuse the pun, but we do have a long way to go, mainly because it's an education, because we have to break stigma. We have to, and that's a lot of it is ingrained, and some of that is epigenetic, you know, that's come through the generations, and that's not something that we can consciously choose to just ignore. It's very much a part of our blueprint, is that if, you know, great great aunt Maud was, you know, sent away because she went mad, then those stories would have passed down the generations, and everybody's therefore afraid of going mad and what madness looks like and what might happen to us if we go mad. And one of the biggest questions and the biggest, it's so honest when parents talk to me about this, I'm still always in awe. The biggest fears that most new parents have is that their baby will somehow be taken away from them if they are open and honest about how they're thinking and feeling. And so, you know, we have, that's where we need to do the work, because it's saying, you know, really, that is so, so very rare, but yet it's still there. And of course, we see it in the media, don't we? And we see it, we hear it everywhere, you know, the stories are exaggerated like that for fear purposes, you know, and it's so therefore, we've got lots of people who are going into parenting first, second, third, fourth, however many times, and having perhaps intrusive thoughts and feelings that are uncomfortable that they find hard to sit with, and the fear kicks in and it's like, oh my goodness, is this madness kicking in? You know, what is this? And if we don't really have a greater awareness of self and what to expect in terms of the care that's being provided for us, then we're less likely to say anything. And of course it, you know, exacerbates and ruminates until usually then it gets down the road to the place where perhaps we are mentally unwell at that point and really needing additional assistance and not being able to do anything about that other than hopefully get some help. Mm. So my role really, and what I do when I train the practitioners that I work with, these incredible kindred professionals who are all in grassroots community, they're supporting parents anyway, pre or birth or postnatally. And we say, you know, this is important. What we do is we say, actually, we can kind of bridge the gap here. And we say that all mental health is normal and emotional well-being is the way we take care of our mental health. And what we do is we do these things every day, and they're not big things. They're small, they're simple, and they're really effective. And if we do this, then it builds our resilience to get to a place where perhaps we feel much more confident about reaching out for support earlier if we need it, or we know what to do when we're having a bad day and we're not necessarily afraid of our babies being taken away because we're having specific thoughts and feelings. So that's really where, you know, where I sit at the moment. And it's driven through my own experiences over the years of struggling mentally and being unwell with my mental health as a result of postnatal depression and also birth trauma. So, you know, but I'm sort of saying, actually, we can get there before that happens. and I'm seeing results, and it's so wonderful, because I think once the penny drops of people and they start to see that actually this isn't scary, this is pretty feel good, really. Mm. And it really helps you to bond and connect better with your baby, with yourself, with your family.
We're just taking a mini pause from this episode to share with you an extra expert top tip from Avril, one of APTACLUB's expert authors.
Hi, I'm Avril Flynn, a midwife and childbirth educator. Did you know that research shows babies learn and process responses to the world around them while sleeping? For more information on understanding your baby's sleep patterns and how to try and establish a routine, sign up to aptaclub.co.uk.
Then it's like, why wouldn't we be taking care of ourselves in this way? That helps to keep the wolf from the door. Certainly doesn't stop the challenges from happening. It doesn't prevent completely mental ill health, but what it does is it builds a beautiful awareness that helps us to feel so much more confident and also to access those support services that are, you know, that are there. But a lot of the time when we're mentally unwell, it feels like there is nobody else. It's just us that's going through this. So it's important to keep that conversation going as we are now, just as a beginner education, really. And that it isn't something to be afraid of, that it's actually not anybody's fault, and that it is part and parcel, really, of being vulnerable and becoming a parent.
Yeah, absolutely, Sophie. I love I mean, I love your ethos. It's obviously come from a place that's super personal to you, which is why you're so dedicated and so passionate about it. Mm. And that's so evident, which is absolutely wonderful. And I suppose the way that I try and relate to mental health is that with our physical health, like we've sort of recognised, we really understand that, I think, a lot more. And we usually know how to nurture that. So we know we need to be eating at least 5 portions of fruit and vegetable a day. We need to be doing some exercise, need to be getting outdoors, et cetera, et cetera. And we know that if we eat vegetables on Monday, we can't then not eat them for the rest of the week and have our physical health. And I think we need to start recognising mental health in the same way. So as we recognise we have to do things for our physical health every day, actually, our mental health needs that same maintenance, doesn't it? It's not kind of a one hit and you're done. It's a daily thing that we need to check in with and keep an eye on.
Yeah, and actually, I love how you talked about the 5 a day, because that's how I talk about mental health as well. So I say, what are your 5 a day for your mental well-being? And that looks different every day. We wouldn't want to eat the same veg every day. We'd get pretty bored of it. It wouldn't have the same effect in terms of taste and everything else. And so we need to mix it up. And it's the same with our mental health and well-being, and every day is different. So I love that you said that. Yeah, and again, it's not complicated. It's not finding loads of extra time, because being a mum of 4, but even being a mum of 1, I remember thinking, how on earth did I ever have time to do anything for myself before having children? And so the ethos that I take is very much about doing things for ourselves with our children, because of course, as you say, with your 7-month-old, they're little sponges, they're watching you and they're learning. So if you're doing this, you're modeling ways of emotional regulation to them that are so important for the rest of their lives. This is, such an important time for them in terms of their development. And I have a lot of people come to me and they say, I just can't do anything for myself. There are blocks, there are barriers, there's all sorts of reasons. And so therefore it is a case of saying, well, if you can't do it for you, can you do it for both of you? Can you do it for your children and for you at the same time? Because that actually helps with the intent very much. And the secret sauce with emotional well-being is intent. So thoughts and feelings and behaviors are all so much more enhanced, and they feel so much better, and we get so much more from it if we do it with intent. And of course, we see our little ones responding really, really quickly to that. So that, that eating those vegetables, if you eat those with presence and with intent, that's actually really amazing for your emotional well-being as well. Yeah. It's not about finding time to go and have your hair done and your nails done and going to the spa. Of course, those are amazing, and if you can get them, definitely go for it. But it's so much more about the little things, and even the gentle things of touch and connection, and with intent, breathing your babies in, breathing them in, and really noticing how that makes you feel with intent. And suddenly, whoosh, you're getting that lovely oxytocin and all those feel-good hormones that keep you feeling good and coping, and grounding you into a place where you're feeling more in control, which is such a big, big part of parenting, especially early parenting, when perhaps most of the time we're not feeling in control because we can't control the little person in front of us as much as we think we can. So it's really helpful in so many other ways than we could ever imagine.
What you just said there, Sophie, about sort of holding your baby close really resonates with me, because certainly when I am navigating the chaos of juggling, motherhood, being a wife, running a business, I'm going to be going back to the NHS, renovating a house, all of that kind of stuff. When things are feeling a little bit stressful, and I've kind of struggled on and off with anxiety throughout my life, holding Finley close and just mirroring his breathing is the most calming thing ever, the most calming thing. And a non-negotiable rule that I made when Finley was born was that every single day, rain or shine, I got outdoors and went for a walk. And that just made me feel so much better. And that was something that the days were obviously completely unstructured with a newborn baby, but that was something I was going to control every day and I knew was definitely going to happen. And just having that sense of control and something that was guaranteed really, really helped me in those sort of early days and weeks. And I've been thinking recently about trying to make sure that as Finley grows, my anxiety doesn't sort of rub off on him, that he doesn't pick up on it if I'm a little bit stressed or anxious about life and things that crop up. And I've decided that in a couple of weeks' time, I'm hopefully going to allocate a few days and we're going to create a little sort of mindfulness wellbeing corner. And we've got a little corner that's a bit of a dead space in the back of our living room. And it's going to be our little corner that's a snug place where any of us can go. And I'm hoping that Finley will pick up on the fact that actually if he feels a bit stressed or not quite right, he can take himself to this little mindfulness corner. And in there will be some of our little favourite things. So, you know, a blanket that's snuggly or something nice to touch or favourite books, favourite quotes, just little things like that. Because like you say, I'm really conscious that I need to start role modelling for him. And that's definitely my motivation at the moment for keeping a check on emotional well-being.
I think that's really beautiful. And children are so naturally mindful. They're so present with everything and we can learn from them so much as well. So absolutely, it'll be a, you know, what you're offering him in those moments equally, you'll be getting back tenfold because you're witnessing that with him. And the sensory, as you say, all of the sensory elements of that are so healing and so wonderful and help us to do things more with intent when we're noticing it. So even the sense of smell, you know, as your baby gets older, you might want to consider bringing in some essential oils, you know, so the citrus oils, anything like orange or bergamot, really beautiful, nurturing, uplifting, nothing too strong, but you know, that sense as well, they get used to, and it works beautifully as a bit of a trigger. And sounds, so music and nature sounds actually, even, or just you omming or ahhing or just playing with your vocal sounds is really incredible grounding for you, but equally for your baby who's learning. There's so much magic just in the sensory experience. And of course it is exceptionally grounding. And when I talk about grounding, I mean parking, really, the nervous system, that autonomic nervous system that we're not consciously really in control of. And if we're feeling a bit spiky, and that's where the anxiety sits, you know, that's where our sort of window, our tolerance levels are less. That's where I call our spiky side. It's in the red zone. And if you're feeling that, then that's always what, you know, a red flag to do something about it, to bring your stress levels down. And so by parking, using sensory awareness, it's a really, really wonderful way of kind of getting things into perspective a little more and feeling, as I said before, a bit more in control, a little bit like, okay, so this is just anxiety I'm experiencing, and that all is all it is, and you know, I can do something about it. And of course, you know, babies will witness that and just learn it all, like the sponge, as you say, and that emotional regulation will stay with them for life. And that's the beauty of this, you know, these, we're creating their blueprints. And that's not to worry anybody that might be thinking, oh my goodness, you know, I've been exceptionally anxious and depressed and reactive around my baby and I've damaged them for life. No, we can, you know, we can change that by taking care of ourselves more and actually communicating that more. So communication is such a great skill that we have as humans, that often when we're tired and vulnerable, we internalize things and don't necessarily open up and say how we feel and what we're thinking, whether that's to ourselves as well as to anybody else around in the room. But our babies, you know, brains are, it's that gray matter is plastic, really. We can mold it and change it, and as long as they get the love and the attention and the connections that they need, and you could become their safe place, you are their safe place, then you know, anything that has happened can be undone. And that's beautiful. And I love that we have that as parents, because no parent is perfect. We are all going to be reactive, aren't we, at some point or another. So we can't all be then thinking, oh my goodness, what have we done to our children in that moment? We have to be thinking more about taking care of ourselves and then therefore repairing whatever rupture has happened by love and openness and honesty and connection. And, you know, that communication is key. So, definitely. So much.
Yeah, definitely. It's so funny what you were saying there, because I had like a little bit of a chaotic moment just today, Sophie. I had all my nice cloth nappies out on the washing line. And actually, it's a little bit of a moment of kind of mindfulness and relaxation as I hang them all out on a sunny day. I just love it. And then I love looking at them all and all their like colourful patterns. Anyway, that was all beautiful until about 3 hours later when the downpour of rain started. So I was like, oh my gosh, the nappies are getting wet. Ran out, collecting them all in, came in, threw them all in a pile in the living room. And my husband was like, it's okay. We can just dry them. It's really not the end of the world. I was like, yeah, that was a moment of perspective. And I think having people around us to, you know, give us that perspective and support us is so important, isn't it, in pregnancy and motherhood. And I always say, you know, motherhood wasn't meant to be done alone, but we seem to feel like in society now that we need to do it on our own, and it shouldn't be the case, should it? And I just wonder for like those around mum or supporting mum, whether that's one person or if you're lucky enough to have an army, what can they do to help support your emotional well-being? We're just taking a quick pause from this episode so that I can share with you a brand that I know you're going to love as much as I do. My little Finley is growing up fast and is almost on the move, which means it's now time to start making our home safe for him. Did you know that every single week, at least one child under 5 years of age dies in an accident? 75% of which happen in their own home. I think this is terrifying. And this is why the team at Cheeky Rascals offer a variety of products that not only help make parents' lives easier, but are also the safest on the market, including brands like Love to Dream, Rocket, and the Fred Baby Proofing Safety Range, which has everything you need to keep your little one safe and your mind at ease. I want to support you to make your home safer for your little one and prevent them coming to any harm. So Cheeky Rascals are sponsoring this podcast and offering you 15% off Fred safety products using the code MIDWIFEPIP15.
I think we all need space to find that self-awareness. So it's knowing that we're being held, that we're heard, that we're seen, that helps us to feel safe. So that is what people around us can do for us. They can't equally control what we're experiencing either. So it's very much about them listening to us, giving us time to say what we need to say, holding us, that helps us to feel loved, or, you know, giving us the option of not being held but feeling held in a space as well, and this being seen for ourselves. So that's a real important one, especially as we are transitioning into parenting. Often we feel quite invisible, we feel unseen, because it is very much about the baby. But equally, we may have gone from you know, one career in our life into another, where in one way we were very much in control, and then of course we've got this baby that we're meeting demands of, and we can't control them, and that can be really, really challenging for so many people, because it translates into feeling like we're failing most of the time. And that failure leads to other emotions like guilt and shame, and of course low self-worth and low confidence, etc. And nobody wants to be feeling like that, but so many parents do. And as you said, if you haven't got somebody in your space to actually enable you to feel seen, then that is very difficult. We have to do that for ourselves, which we can do, but it has to be learnt unless you've already learnt it. Mm. It is a skill. That act of kind of parenting ourselves really is a real skill that we learn along the way. And certainly, you know, 16 years down the line, I'm still learning, but, you know, getting there slowly. But I also think that having others around us that help us to hold us accountable for taking care of our emotional well-being. Yeah. So accountability is being compassionate and being that compassionate voice of saying, I know you don't feel like doing it, but if you do it anyway, I'm sure you'll reap the rewards. So that is a voice that we can say to ourselves when we get up in the morning and we know we're not feeling so great, but we know also that we have our non-negotiables that we must do. Like you say, you get out for your walk, that helps you to feel better. But it's when that inner voice just says, oh, nah, not today. I'm just, you know, I'm not feeling it. Now, if you're genuinely not feeling it, then that's okay. And of course, it's good to have a break from doing these things sometimes too. But sometimes it's that part where you just need that little bit of extra accountability, the extra persuasion that says, I know you don't feel like doing it, but if you do it anyway, you know you're going to feel so much better. Definitely. And of course, often those are the days when you do it anyway that you reap the rewards, because you get that lovely boost of dopamine for achievement. You've done it. And, you know, perhaps you have another experience when you're out on your walk that you wouldn't have had any other way, you know, that has just made your day. So it's having people around you that in a strong but loving way kind of encourage you to keep going. To say we're here for you and you're doing an amazing job, you know. And I think that is enough in so many ways, but equally also to give us the space to be able to learn to parent ourselves too. Because when the doors are closed and baby's crying in the middle of the night and we're doing that feed, nobody else really is there, apart obviously our partner if we have one, but some people don't. Partner might be sleeping in the other room because they need to get up and work all day the next day, and you know that you might have that kind of arrangement. So who's going to take care of you in those moments? And those moments are you know, quite hard for any new parent to navigate. It can feel very lonely, it can feel very disconnected. And actually, this is where emotional well-being really kicks into place so beautifully, because you say, actually, I can flip this right now. I can think about maybe all the other parents that are awake with me with their babies right now, or I can use positive emotion, positive mood, positive thoughts and feelings to bring myself through this time. To feel, you know, to feel the power of the gratitude in those situations rather than the opposite, which of course we know that when we get stuck in the kind of the dark side, then we can really ruminate on that. And it can then be very damaging to how we are for the rest of the day as well. And of course how we feel. So emotional well-being really is about kind of adapting when confronted with those kind of you know, curveballs and the situations, the stressful situations that happen. And that is really the foundations in that hour, but it's about resilience. So you're building resilience. So as I said before, it's not about, you can't prevent these things from happening, but it's more about how you cope with them and how you manage and how you reach out. And a lot of that comes from self-awareness. But that again is a learned skill for so many of us if we've lived in, as we do live in a society that doesn't necessarily educate us to that until we sort of have to find it for ourselves and need it. And often that happens as we're becoming parents or even in pregnancy. And it is, you know, it's a vulnerability that perhaps so many people haven't necessarily experienced before. And that can be quite a scary place. So again, it's about saying, okay, you know, what can I do about this right now? You know, how can I feel better? So it's not necessarily about sort of toxic positivity and being positive about absolutely everything, but it's very much more about producing positive emotions through our thoughts and feelings and our self-awareness. And that often comes from living with purpose. You know, that's really what it's so much of it is about, and managing our stress levels. So noticing, as you did today with your nappies, you know, okay, that's a bit of a red flag, isn't it? It's like, all right, so what do I need to do for myself in that moment? You know, maybe you needed to hear what you heard, but equally perhaps you needed to be held, and you just needed somebody to just, you know, give you the space to feel safe and grounded again. And oh yeah, it is just the nappies and we can just dry them. But of course, naturally, when your window of tolerance is less, it can feel like it's such a big deal. And that's, you know, that's fine. That's okay too. And all these emotions are very normal as we're becoming parents. I think that that nobody should be ashamed of any emotions that crop up. It's more about being with them rather than fighting them, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I guess that acceptance, and then where do you go with them from there? And what you just mentioned in terms of the window of tolerance, I think one of the biggest challenges for every parent is probably that sleep deprivation in those early days, weeks, months, years. I think the more sleep deprived we are, for sure, that window of tolerance is just diminishes, doesn't it? Like it definitely gets less. And I just wonder what your advice would be to any new or expectant parents that are kind of planning for this next stage in terms of how we can plan for that, but little things that they can do to help prioritize their emotional well-being, and almost kind of if you're listening and pregnant, how you can start practicing for when you know that window of tolerance is probably going to be on the lower side. Because I don't know about you, Sophie, but I always find that when I'm busiest is when I probably need to take the most time for my emotional well-being, but it's when I neglect it the most. But yeah. Ironically, I always say to myself, I'm feeling like I haven't got time for it. And that's like a massive flag to me that I need to find time for it, because I know that's going to make me feel better.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yeah, exactly. And so many of us in pregnancy are sort of racing through to get everything in order, all the ducks in a row kind of thing, you know, and going perhaps to classes like yoga or antenatal classes, etc. So we're kind of, it's a lot of it is a tick box exercise. And I would say that again, this brings it back to connecting with yourself, but intent. Why am I doing all of these things? What does it really mean? What does it look like? And questioning. So in my guide, there are a lot of questions to answer that help to build a deeper level of self-awareness than perhaps you would have before, so that you can start to understand when you're perhaps pushing it too much, you know, when your boundaries are not necessarily in place, and what you can do about that. And it's a great time to open up and be questioning with yourself, but equally with your partner as well, and ask, you know, what is it that I need when I am feeling really stressed? What do I need to do? What does somebody need to say to me to help me? What is going to help me? And I think, you know, for any new parents who are experiencing that level of sleep deprivation, connection is so important, and communication, as I've said before, and slowing down rather than speeding up. I think that society has set us up to meet targets and milestones, especially when it comes to babies as well, you know, actually these things, when left usually to their own devices, happen in the time that they need to happen. And we get there anyway, no matter how we're getting there. It's about the bit like the hare and the tortoise. And I think that, you know, it's important to remind ourselves of that, that it will look really different. And equally, that sleep deprivation is a time really that we can use to reflect inward and slow down and only do what we can do when we can do it. And a big phrase that I picked up many, many years ago was invest in rest, which I really love. Because what we do so often is we count the hours of sleep that we've not had, probably, or had, you know, and we use words because language is so important, especially this self-talk and that self-communication is I only got 2 hours sleep last night. I have only had this. And of course, we're coming from a place of lack instantly. So what we can do is we can start to reflect on the quality of the sleep and rest that we have. And if we haven't had that much sleep in the night, how can we rest more in the day? Now, that doesn't mean sleep when the baby sleeps, because I know that's really difficult for so many of us to do.
That's my like worst phrase. Can't bear it.
It's so hard, isn't it? But it could just be when you put your baby down that you take 10 minutes to do a body scan relaxation. Or, you know, if you like yoga nidra, I'm a big fan of yoga nidra. It's like a body scan relaxation, but it's just deeper. And there've been, you know, there's research behind that that suggests that the level of rest that you get when you're doing that is equivocal to a really nice big chunk of sleep. Mm. So you can be thinking, okay, I am actually topping myself up through the day in ways that I kind of hadn't thought I could and would and should. You know, the coulda, woulda, shouldas are, I've got to be out the window as well. That was another top tip for any new parents. And you start to notice you're using those words could, would, should, ought, must. Because it's important. That could almost be a red flag as, why should I? What does that mean to me? Is that because I'm trying to do what society is expecting of me rather than what I can, you know, what's within my level of expertise or the times that I have? And also, you know, we have to notice that, especially when we become new parents, especially in the world we live in with social media. I mean, that's how we've connected, isn't it? Yeah. Is that we connect beautifully with others, but equally the comparisonitis is really big. And we're subconsciously not aware of that a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. So we see, if perhaps we see new parents achieving or doing so much more in a beautiful space of doing lovely things. Obviously, we never know what's going on really, but it's about recognizing that in yourself too, and just saying, this is my life and that is okay. And it's not theirs. And, you know, there's all sorts of things that we never know that are hypothetical mind, when we're super tired and vulnerable, will kind of try to piece together the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle and make us start to feel pretty bad about ourselves in ways that just are not real and not true at all. So I think that's, you know, a big, big bit of becoming a parent these days that we have to be aware of. And certainly, I mean, 16 years ago for me, that wasn't an issue. We didn't have we didn't really have much social media. Facebook was only just starting. So, you know, I think that is a big, big thing that we have to contend with. So again, it comes down to intent. I would certainly say navigate your way through, you know, the scrolling with intent to help you to connect more and feel better, rather than aimlessly scrolling and, you know, not feeling so good about yourself as well.
Definitely. I totally echo what you're saying there about social media, Sophie. It's such a brilliant resource in so many ways. Like you say, that's how we connected, and it was lovely to meet you face to face as well a few weeks ago. But also, it can be so damaging and so dangerous. And I always say to women, especially in pregnancy, when you've just had a baby, when you are feeling extra vulnerable, and you are therefore even more likely to end up in that rabbit warren of negative, unhelpful comparison, actually, it's kind of a good time to cull that social media feed. If you're seeing things crop up that don't make you feel great or are generating some kind of negative comparison, just hit that unfollow button. It's not the right time for you to be following that particular account. There's probably loads out there that make you feel a lot better about yourself. So kind of stick to those at that time, I think, is really important. Now, Sophie, I love you. I could talk to you all evening, as it's the evening time fresh recording. But I know you have got four children to probably get back to. But I wonder if you could just share with us three of your top tips to new or expectant mums that are on this pregnancy stroke motherhood journey.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so the biggest one is basically just be you. What does it look like to be you, to be authentic, to be real, and think about being more open, more honest with yourself, but equally with your partner if you have one, and your family. I think there, you know, that level of communication is enormous, and I just wish somebody had said that to me so many years ago. If you don't know what you is, what you are, who you are, then that's a really good time now to sit down and grab a pen and paper and just write down your strengths. Write down how you think other people see you. Yeah. And if you find it difficult to write down anything good about yourself, then it can often come from seeing how others see you. Okay. So that's a start, because equally recognizing that your baby will be looking at you with the most adoration and love. They're not manipulating in any way. They're just like, whatever you do. So, you know, even if you don't like the sound of your voice, if you like to, you know, as you sing or whatever, your baby will absolutely love it. Also, top tip is, as I've said before, think about what you're doing for yourself every day in terms of your emotional resilience. So are you connecting? Are you giving? Giving to others is really amazing. That doing anything well-meaning, any well-meaning activities, is tremendous for resilience building as well. Move your body. It's not always about the mind in this instance. It's very much about moving, getting out and moving in a way that you feel you need to, that you want to, but it connects you with your body so beautifully as well, and with how you're feeling. So think about that kind of embodiment experience. Learn as much as you can. Knowledge is power, and words are particularly useful and powerful, especially when we're vulnerable. So learn about how you can use words with yourself and with others that help to direct you through your day. Being kind as well to yourself and kind to others, recognizing perhaps when you're not being kind and where that's coming from. And that comes into with compassion as well. So you know, the compassionate voice is a kind voice, but it's also it's like that parenting voice that we were talking about earlier, that, you know, just kind of nudging you through and helping you feel held and accountable for doing what you need to do. Lastly, I know this is more than three, but lastly is being present, being as mindful as you can. Pregnancy is just 9 months, and birth is maybe a few days. Labor and birth is, you know, a few days, a few hours, and, you know, and then afterwards, the time that you have with your baby is actually very short in the greater scheme of things. Being more present helps us to really bank all of that so much more, and it equally helps to put the gremlins of the past to bed, okay, and equally the worries about the future and the what ifs and the wherefores, they can just stay where they are too. So being present is tremendous superpower that we have within us that perhaps we've lost touch with a little and just need to come back to it. I'm not talking about sitting and being zen like a Buddha all the time at all. I'm very much more about just being more present when you can remember to be present. And actually, that might just be a few seconds or a minute or two. But the more you do it, the more it comes more naturally, and the rewards are great.
Definitely. And I think, you know, talking about being present in terms of pregnancy and birth and having a newborn is such a powerful time to practice it for the rest of your life, because those moments are just so precious. You know, those moments when it's just you and your baby sat there and they look at you with that wonderful smile in their eyes, like there is just nothing like that. And if we're too busy, we miss those, don't we? And so I think things like that are super powerful. Now, Sophie, thank you so, so much. And Sophie's wonderful book is linked in the episode description as well as her Instagram page. So please go and check that out for loads more information and support on supporting your emotional well-being. And I hope this really helps anyone listening to really think about starting to prioritize that more in your life, not just for you, but for your whole family as well. And that's it for another episode. I hope you enjoyed listening. Remember, you can use your exclusive discount code podcast15 on all my online courses. And why not check out my free mini course while you're there too? If you enjoyed listening to this episode, remember to hit subscribe so you're the first to hear about all the upcoming chats too. And I'd be immensely grateful if you could take a couple of minutes to leave me a quick podcast review too. I look forward to speaking to you again very soon.